The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
Or 51551 for your texts. Now, I'm joined in Studio 10 by the most famous loud man in America, Tommy Smith. That's Smith with a Y. Tommy, great to have you in studio.
Great to meet you. It's great to sit across from you, believe me.
Now, we spoke to you before, but you'll have to explain yourself to people, because unless people...
I usually do.
Yes. When did you leave Louth?
I left Louth, I'll be gone actually, my... anniversary is coming up next week, the 3rd of August 1963. So I'll be there 56 years next Friday.
Right.
I'll be at the Galway races, but I'm there 56 years.
What was your intention when you were leaving Louth to go to America?
You know, that's a question an awful lot of people ask, and I really didn't have any intention. I had an old aunt, my Aunt Minnie, who would come home every year. And she'd be always saying to me, oh, come to America, right? And sure, I started telling the boys around Knockbridge, the boys and the brides football, that I was going to go to America, and then it stuck. Oh, yeah. And then I had no way out.
I had to go. It was a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, it certainly was.
Yeah, Knockbridge, County Louth is where you're originally from.
Yeah, a small little parish down. It's about 4 miles outside of Dundalk.
And had you got a trade or anything?
No, I was only, I wasn't 17. I had worked in the foundry in Dundalk as a by labourer was the term in those days. I'm not sure it exists now, but I left there and I headed to New York, and the rest is a wee bit of, I don't know, history or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, but you're 16, 17. What do you do when you land in New York?
Well, I had my aunt with me and, you know, unfortunately, I was only there 2 days when her husband died. So that left me in a real bad situation because I had no job and she was in any shape to take me around to get a job. So I had to forage my way around New York a little bit on my own looking for a job. And it was probably the best thing that ever happened to me. You know, you learn quickly.
It was the makings of you.
Yeah, it was. It was. I mean, if you don't learn, you're in trouble.
Yeah. And was it a bit of the boy becoming a man overnight?
Well, I'm not sure the boy has ever become a man, but right, overnight for that, definitely. Yeah.
And it's funny you say that, because that's your appeal, isn't it? Your sort of your boy-like enthusiasm for what you do.
Yeah, well, I love what I do. You know, I consider myself very lucky, and I always say to people, and Americans always say to me, you know, I always say, if there is an American dream, I have achieved that American dream, because, I mean, I live the life that most people, most football fans and things would give their
so
life.
So how did you get from walking around the streets of New York as a 17-year-old, looking for a job, foraging for a job, as you say, lovely description, to being a regular on ESPN... and now NFL on Amazon. How did that happen?
Well, it was a long journey with a big ladder. And I slid down it many times. I had about 17 different jobs over the years. And in fact, my first job, I went into a hotel looking for a job. And when the woman saw my passport, she said, no, I'm sorry, I can't give you a job. She said, you're too young. You can't work until you're over 18. And she said, but if you come back tomorrow with some proof that you're 18, she said. She was French, and she obviously figured another European, right? So I went away and I did a masterful job, and I made myself 18 overnight. And that was the first job I got. I got a job in the Biltmore Hotel in New York as an electrician's helper. And then I went on, I worked, because I had promised Mom and Dad that I wouldn't stay away any longer than 2 years. And in the States, you only get like 2 weeks holidays. There's no such a thing as getting 3 or 4 weeks holidays. So every year I'd have to quit the job I had because I had to come home, had to see Mom and Dad, I had to go to the Galway races. So it was simple. Then every September I would go back to the States and had to look for a new job. But I got to ESPN because in 1994, I used to do something that my wife does now. We did the pre-game, post-game and halftime of the All-Ireland football and hurling on WFUV Fordham University. So I had all this built into my
And what
profile.
Were you doing though? What was your job though?
I was a house painter.
This was a hobby.
Yeah. And I also announced the games in Gaelic Park. In Gaelic Park where they play the
in
Irish.
In New York, yes.
Yeah, I announced the games in the stadium. So 1991, I guess it was, 1991, it was announced that ESPN, or the US, was going to host the 1994 World Cup. So I picked up the phone, I called ESPN, and I said, I need to speak to the guy that's running the World Cup for ESPN.
Right.
And this guy picked up the phone to me and asked me what I wanted, and I told him what I wanted, and he invited me up for
lunch.
And
what did you want?
I wanted a job doing the World Cup.
Right.
I told him I wanted a job doing the World Cup, and he said, do you have any experience? Well, I said, come down to the Bronx any Sunday. I said, you'll hear me in Gaelic Park. I said, and if I can do a job in Gaelic Park, I said, I can do a job anywhere. I said, when you have lads shouting the things that they be shouting at me in Gaelic Park, I can withstand anything. So, you know, I didn't get a job actually at that point. I did one game. I did Ireland against Italy,
which
the
is
famous
a,
one.
What
in the
a brilliant game to do. Yeah.
Yeah, which really was the World Cup. You didn't need to do any more. Yeah. You did the World Cup.
Ray Houghton's goal.
That's right.
And Paul McGrath's, like,
oh,
just
he
hero-like
dynamite.
Performance.
Yeah. Dynamite. And, you know, after that, then I got the call from ESPN, because that was ESPN Big Boys. So ESPN Little Cousin, which was ESPN International, which broadcast to 153 countries, had just come on the air then. Now, I had never done a soccer game, and I was coming home here to Ireland, and I got a call from a woman. She said, we want you to do a game between Santos and Guarani. I'll never forget it, in the Paulista League in Brazil, right? So the first thing I had to do was, I had to realise that, you know, Spanish and Portuguese are not the same.
Well,
believe
done.
Me, they were in Knockbridge, but they weren't anywhere else. So I came home and I'm saying to myself, now, I've never done a game on television. So I gathered all my nieces and nephews and I put them into the car, and Dundalk was playing Limerick on a very cold Sunday afternoon at Oriel Park. And I took them into the stadium. I sat in the middle of them and I did a commentary for, I think there were 7 or 8 of them. Right. So I did a live commentary for them and I asked them their opinions after. They were like 9, 10, 11 years old. And I said, you know, if you can satisfy those guys, you can satisfy anybody. Yeah. So I go back to the States. Right. And the woman called and said, OK, the game is on such a night. And I had a good friend who worked as a baker in Long Island City. He was a Kilkenny man and he had some Brazilian guys there. But I always remember, Ray, the night the game was played, right? Santos, I knew all about because of Pelé. Everybody knew about Pelé. But Guarani, I didn't even know how to pronounce it, right? But there were two lads on the team. There was Alex and Dennis. And at that time, they had me doing play-by-play. Now I'm an analyst.
Right.
At that time, I had to describe the action.
Yes.
Well, if you were listening to that game that night, you would say Alex and his friend
Dennis.
Was,
they were the only ones who were playing.
They were going to be on the World Cup team. They were going to be on the World team because whenever there was a doubt, one of them got the ball and one of them passed to the other player. And that was the way it went for the 90 minutes. And they loved it.
Yeah, yeah.
And the rest after that, forget about it.
Yeah, but you still have, after all those years, over 5 decades, you still have the loud accent. It's strong and it's there. And did you make a conscious decision to keep it or...?
No, I never made conscious decisions about anything. The only thing I made a conscious decision about was what to marry. My uncle used to say to me, marry a woman from Cork and you'll always have some place to go on your holidays. And he was right, I did. I married a woman from Cove and I go down there every year on my holidays down to Ballard and it's great. Yeah, but, yeah. You know, if you start taking yourself too seriously and making conscious efforts about everything or conscious decisions about everything, you'll never get anywhere.
I was trying to describe you to somebody earlier on and I was going, if you can imagine some sort of hybrid of Marty Morrissey and the late Jimmy McGee, and that doesn't even do you justice. That doesn't even do you justice. Because there's a boldness about you as well. That because I saw a sort of a ESPN best bits of Tommy Smith that they put together. There's a sort of irreverence about you, and you don't, as you say, you definitely don't take yourself seriously. But at any opportunity, you'll dress up.
Oh, yeah.
Or sing a song.
Yeah.
Or
yeah. Well, you know, I had the pleasure of doing 19 Champions League finals. Now, and when you do a Champions League final for ESPN, it was a week long job. So you'd have to go to the city that the final was on.
Barcelona or Istanbul or whatever it was.
And I had to take up parts of, you know, whatever city you were in, you became a Swiss guard or you became something like that. So I would always dress up. And I'll tell you one thing, to some of those tapes, you shouldn't look at them really because they weren't done that well, but there was a lot of things that wasn't covered up, let me tell you.
So there's a travel, there's a sort of a travel program element to it as well.
You give
a flavour of where you are.
Yeah, ESPN always has this thing. They believe that the people should tell the story of the city you're in, and then the event takes place in the city.
Uh-huh.
That was the way they always approached it.
Okay. Now, I've been saying since I mentioned your name that it's Smith with a Y, and that's become your calling card, isn't it? Where did that come from?
It came from the fact that that's the way we spell our name.
I know, but
no, but when the internet, when I joined ESPN, the internet was only very young, right? But then as it started coming in, I mean, ESPN started getting all these S-M-I-T-H ones.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And I said, look it. And the guy said to me one day, he said, why didn't you just say Smith with a Y, he said, and it'll be a calling card, he said, nobody will ever mistake it again. And it turned out to be one of the best calling cards I had.
Tommy Smith with a
Tommy
Y.
Tommy Smith with a Y.
Of course, there's a Y in Tommy. I don't mean to be pedantic, Tommy.
That's true. There is. There's Ys everywhere.
So I've changed it for you. I said Tommy
there you
Smith.
Go.
And that's Smith with a Y. So just, I've added
Tommy with a Y and Smith with a Y.
Yeah. And the other thing is your onion bag reference. And that's an old reference to the net in a game of soccer, isn't it, a game of football?
Yeah, it is. And I mean, myself and the fella from Navan were sitting down one night, we were talking about it, and he said, every commentator in the States, he said, has a calling card, he said. Right. And we decided this should be it. Because if you realistically, at that time, the nets were red and the ball was white, still is, of course. The nets are not red anymore. But when the ball struck the net, I mean, it's just like an onion sitting in an onion bag.
Yeah.
But what's even more I'm very proud of is I went to, 2 years ago, I went to the Philadelphia Union and started announcing their games in MLS after I retired from ESPN. And they had this thing called doop, doop, doop when it was a score. It was just a statement. There was nothing to it, right? So I adopted my doop in the old onion bag. And the lads in the supporters club there went and they built an onion bag behind the goal. Now when there's a goal scored, this guy takes a big onion, he cuts it with its chainsaw, and he takes over a slice, and he puts the slice in my onion bag.
Right.
You couldn't write it.
No, you couldn't. This is just 27 seconds of your very long career. How many years did you do in ESPN?
26.
So this is a second for every year.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And look at that. He puts the buzz in the old onion bag. And he puts it in the roof of the old onion bag. Denny Cooley, calmly, buzzes the old onion bag.
This is Tommy Smith with a Y.
He's going to put one in the back of the old onion bag.
Listen, Shaka.
Straight into the old onion bag. I'm Tommy Smith with a Y.
You've got Tommy Smith with a Y.
We've got Tommy Smith with a Y.
Yeah! Till next time, I'm Tommy Smith with a Y.
There you go, and we've Tommy Smith with a Y in studio with us.
Those lads, that was the New Zealand team, and Tommy Smith was playing in the World Cup with New Zealand. So that was when ESPN approached them. That's what they said, because we used to broadcast 3 or 4 times a day in New Zealand.
Yeah.
So they adopted that. We got Tommy Smith with an I, you got Tommy Smith with a Y.
And of course, you're a sports fan, Tommy. So as you're saying, you were living the dream. And you've met some of the greatest. You've interviewed David Beckham.
Yeah, spent a week with him in Madrid. Unbelievable guy. One of the nicest people you could ever meet in your life. It's amazing how the persona that you imagine about these guys is nowhere near what they're like.
Yeah.
I mean, Roy Keane, I couldn't meet a nicer guy. Unbelievable. The way he treated me was just incredible. I didn't like him calling me Bio, but that was all right.
Bio, he called
bio.
You
Bio,
yeah,
right.
Bio. Yeah, yeah. You're good at your own PR. There's a clip in that. Now, they left it in for the crack.
Yeah.
But you're in front of, it looks like a diner someplace in some small town in America, and there's a couple of teenage boys, and you're instructing them what to say.
Yeah.
So you go through.
Well, actually, what happened there was they had said it, and the guy missed the camera.
Oh, right. Is that your story?
I said to them, say it again.
Which was... You're a legend, Tommy
Smith.
You're a legend,
okay.
You're a legend, Tommy Smith, which is the ultimate. What about, because they obviously love your turn of phrase, which is an Irish turn of phrase, a loud turn of phrase, but sometimes it gets lost in translation and maybe there's a bit of a mix-up, is there? Because I think the last time we spoke to you was the use of a word.
You're going down a rabbit hole now, aren't you?
No, but like, I would use that word.
Yeah.
Jizz. I would use that word as in energy and enthusiasm.
You just did.
Yes, yes. But in America, it means something completely different. So you used it with reference to an English player in the World Cup, did you?
No, it was actually England were playing Italy.
Yeah.
And it was Pirlo. And Pirlo was in his prime that time. It was in 2010, in South Africa. And I was doing the quarterfinal, I'd say. And I was doing it with JP. And JP is a very vanilla type Irish. JP Della Camera. He's a very vanilla type American who has no turn of phrase. He just does everything straightforward and there's no colour to it at all. Right. He just does it. So he said to me when the teams came out on the field in the second half, he said, because Pirlo was after having a terrible game, he was walking. And he said, what's wrong with Pirlo? And I said, he just has no jizz today at all. And I was watching, I had the computer on and the internet started going tick, 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 tick. And I said to myself, oh, I just said something wrong there, didn't I? And I didn't realise.
No, of course, wouldn't you? It's innocent. It's innocent.
Yeah, and to compound the problem then, I said to JP, I said, by the way, JP, I said, where I come from, I said, in Knockbridge, I said, we call that having a lack of energy when you say jizz.
Yeah.
And the computer went crazy again. He said it again. He said it again. I mean, you know, you just, it's amazing how you can be mistaken.
Let's see what they're saying about you, Tommy. Your guest today, Tommy, what a great guy. I played football against him in Gaelic Park in the Bronx. Ask him about Aidan Wiseman, great loud footballer. Say hello to Tommy from Michael Burke from the Bronx, living in Castle Island in Kerry.
Michael, I didn't start writing the book yet. Mike sends me an email every week telling me what chapter I should be in the book now.
I
didn't get it yet, Mike.
Your book.
Yeah, my book.
Best wishes to Tommy from Richie Kelly, musician in Carlow. Was jumping out of the car to go to work meeting when I heard you mention you'll be speaking to Tommy Smith on the show today. Tommy is a dear old friend of my parents, Tom and Kay Lillis. And from what I heard, they got up to all sorts with him when they lived out in New York in the 1970s. They even used to help out on his radio show for The Crack. My folks speak about Tommy so fondly and are listening in now. It's Dad's birthday tomorrow, so please ask him to wish him a happy birthday. Best love, best wishes to Tommy, love, Rachel. So that's Tom and Kay. So it's Tom and Kay Lillis.
Tom Lillis, all the way from Corra Clare and County Clare. And yes, they used to help me out on the show. I started my radio show in 1969 because at that time the show bands had come out and I couldn't get the music. So I started the show and Tom and Kay helped me. Eventually, Trasa took over the show. She runs the show now.
It's still very successful.
Yeah. Trasa's the wife. And Tom, I hope you have a great birthday. I'm not sure what birthday it is. I won't even try to go there, but I hope it's a good one.
Speaking of birthdays, what age are you, Tommy?
I'm not sure. When you get to my age, you forget what age you are. You know, you forget a lot of things.
People can do the maths. You're out there 54 years and you were 17 when you left. So yeah. You're right.
And I've been at the Galway races, I think, maybe 45
have
or 46
you
times.
You always come home for them?
Yeah, myself and my brother Colm and Teresa and Trasa were heading off Monday to Ballybrit. You know, it's easy. There's a bunch of guys come in with bags full of money. You just have to guess the right horse and they put the hand in the bag and they give you the money. How could you go wrong? You couldn't go wrong.
Had the pleasure of being in New York in 2008 where Tommy Smith led the St. Patrick's Day parade up Fifth Avenue. Yes, you were the Grand Marshal in St. Patrick's Day. That must have been a special moment, Tommy, was it?
Yeah, very special moment because an awful lot of people don't realise is that the St. Patrick's Day Parade has been in existence 15 years before the United States became the United States. And it has run consecutively every year. It has never missed out. There was one year that there was a fantastic blizzard and the Grand Marshal of the St. Patrick's Day Parade at that time would ride a horse and he'd have five or six outriders with him to come up the avenue. And he came up the avenue and went the whole route of the parade to tell people that the parade wasn't going to come behind him. So they said, well, the parade was completed. The Grand Marshal ran it.
What was it like?
Ray, it was the greatest moment of my life besides the day I was married. So it was something that I never believed would ever happen to me. No loud man has ever been Grand Marshal of St. Patrick's Day Parade. It was the greatest honour in most Irish people's opinion that go to the United States. It's the greatest honour any Irish man or any Irish woman can have. I mean, to be chosen as the Grand Marshal of the St. Patrick's Day Parade on the particular day that I was Grand Marshal and it's documented, there were 3.5 million people who lined the streets. And there were 275,000 people who marched in the parade. Now, when Obama was inaugurated. He only had 3 million people at his inauguration. So I beat him by 500,000.
And they're all there for you.
Yeah.
Tommy Smith with a Y.
That's right. There you go, Tommy Smith with a Y. But it was an amazing feeling.
Tommy is a legend here in America. Great to have him at Philadelphia Union for game day commentaries. Ask him about the onion bag. We've done that. That's John O'Rourke in Philadelphia. And I wish Tommy your sincerest good wishes and thank you for your friendship and kindness over many years, John and Peggy. And great to hear Tommy Smith on the radio, a man who's never lost his roots and even kept his accent. Wishing him the very best from Declan Louth. Of course, you were at Dundalk last night.
I was.
And it was a 1-1 draw against Quarabeg.
Quarabeg, yeah.
Yeah.
Azerbaijan. I love saying that, Azerbaijan. Yeah, they were lucky, unlucky, and lucky. You know, to give away a corner kick in the first half, which should never have happened. Quarterback never got into the dock half, and somebody miskicked the ball. It ended up going out for a corner. And from the ensuing corner kick, it took a deflection and ended up in the net. And that was the only thing Quarterback did. And then Huben got a header to put Dundalk level at one apiece. And with the very last kick of the ball, Ray, the ball broke down in the box and there was a lad looking at it and you couldn't see a goalkeeper. All you could see was a big piece of the old onion bag and he put it over it.
Ah.
Oh, I'll tell you one thing, but the atmosphere was fantastic and Dundalk FC, I must say, treated myself and Trasa very well last night.
I mentioned that you're now working on, is it Amazon Prime?
Amazon Prime, yes.
So you're doing commentary for the UK and Ireland on NFL games?
Yes, I'm doing it for the US as well.
Oh, doing it as well?
Yeah, because what they did was they signed a contract that they were going to use European guys to do it, but they didn't say that they weren't going to have it in the US. So it's available in the US because Amazon Prime is available everywhere now.
And this is oddly, and in your, you know, it's old.
At my age, when you start to forget things, yeah.
You've become a cult figure with American football fans.
Yeah, it's amazing. It has gone really well. I do it with a fella called Derek Ray, who a lot of people in Scotland would know as the man who was doing, he was doing the Scottish League on BT for several years. And I used to do Champions League with him and a lot of other things. And we ended up doing it and it's turned out, I'm the first ever analyst who's not a native born American who has ever done the NFL on national television.
Right.
They said I couldn't do it. They laughed. They were laughing. When Tommy Smith's going to do the NFL.
I've been reading a few tweets and articles and they love your accent. Is that you or me?
That's you. I don't have a phone. I can't afford one.
Yeah, they love your accent and they also love your honesty and your turn of phrase. Like in one, you were saying the quarterback, it opened up in front of him. You said you could drive a bus through that. Now, it'd be a minibus, not a big bus.
Well, it wasn't a big gap. It was just a small gap.
A 14-seater.
Yeah. You know, there's no point in doing sports if you're not honest about it.
Yeah.
You know, sports is not a religion. Sports is meant to be an entertainment. People are intended, you know, to spend a whole week doing something that some of them don't like, and you get the release on the weekend to go and do it or watch it on television. So when I do a game on television, I tell it exactly like I see it.
Despite what Matt Busby said, it's not life or death.
No, it's not. No. It's worse than that.
Yeah, that's it. Did you ever think of coming back home and doing it over here? Did you ever have any offers from...
No, I never had.
They never came knocking?
No, I did overseas requests many years ago on RTE for some time before Trasa took over the programme. Right. I used to do the overseas requests. I did with Mike Murphy. In fact, I heard from Mike recently from Florida. Yeah, he's still going strong. And I go back as far as Trasa Davis.
Yes, I remember Trasa, overseas requests. Yeah.
And Valerie McGovern.
When you think about that, and that was a big deal, reading out requests from people who weren't living in the country, how the world has changed.
It has changed an awful lot. People just say to me, what's the biggest change you had since you went to the United States? And the biggest change I do tell people, and they think I'm nuts when I tell them this, right? To make a phone call to my mother would be 3 days.
Knockbridge.
I would have to call McNamee's pub and I would say to Tom McNamee, could you have my mother there tomorrow for a phone call? Or the next day. I couldn't say tomorrow because he mightn't see her. And then he would have her there. And, you know, Americans would always say to me, you were cheap, weren't you? Why didn't you buy your mother a telephone? At that time, there was a 7-year waiting list to get a phone into your house. So that was the, and like it was $5 a minute at that time. Now you can talk to fellas and look at them. Sometimes you don't want to see them, but they are. Yeah. You talk to them for free.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's crazy what has happened.
Listen, it's been a real pleasure chatting to you for the last half hour or so. Enjoy the Galway races. Lovely to meet you and Trasa. I'm sure we'll speak again.
Hopefully. Thank you very much.
Tommy Smith with a Y.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.